All right. So it's nice to be back. Usually I try to give this as a weekly share, but we haven't had it in a while. So, Amir Tzashem, well, if you stay, we'll do it every week. Okay? Or every other week. Okay, so this week's topic, Facebook, self-worth, and social comparison. Okay, so everybody knows what Facebook is, right? Yes. Okay. So there's been a lot of studies that have been done on the use of Facebook and people's level of happiness, of well-being, and different aspects of functioning. So a lot of the early research showed both sides. Some studies showed, you know, it's a good thing to be on Facebook, to be on social media. It helps you connect to people. It helps you interact with people. It helps you stay connected. And some studies showed worse, that the more time you spend on Facebook, the worse you feel. It leads to greater depression, etc. So this study that I quoted was actually done last year, so it's very recent. And the reason they said that there was this discrepancy between previous research is because they didn't really do a longitudinal study, which means they didn't follow people over time. So they basically just took a person at one point and they said, how often do you use Facebook and how do you feel? The real way to show the association is to track people over time and see with as they do more Facebook or more social media or less, how does that affect their happiness or their well-being. So this was actually a longitudinal study which followed people over, I think, 2 years. So they had a pretty good range of time. And what they discovered is that as people increased their use of Facebook and social media, so the more they used, the lower they felt, the worse they felt about themselves. So lower levels of well-being and self-worth. Okay? Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. What do you think some of the reasons are?
Jealousy.
Okay, so you look at other people, all these great posts that they have, and you're jealous of them. Okay.
Everybody likes to get how pretty they are. Oh, they got married, and I'm still at home in my mother's basement.
Right.
And that kind of stuff.
Right, so you see all these great things that these people are doing, and then you think of yourself, and you say, wow, I don't stack up to these people, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what else? Any other thoughts? Why would more Facebook social media use lead to lower levels of well-being?
Looking at pictures. All of it is less productivity. I personally, I haven't been on Instagram for like a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a better person.
You're more productive, right?
I'm more productive because it's nice seeing all these people that are doing their own thing. But if I'm spending so much time living someone else's life, then I'm not living my own life.
Right. So just practical wasting time, right?
I think that's also meaning what you're saying, the last part, that I think it's a sickening feeling that you end up like caring so much about other people's lives that you're not
really thinking about yourself. You. Right. You're so involved in what other people are doing that
it has a poor reflection of like who am I?
Right, exactly.
Basically spending time of my life to just look at your life. It's like the reflection is like my life, therefore, equals nothing.
My life is not worth it enough for me to spend time on it, so I need to be involved in your life. Exactly. I know, that's a great... All these things are going on in our head and our brains, and we don't even realize it, right?
It's called Facebook, stalking is called.
That you just try to find other people to get that pleasure from them, right? Right, so actually, I believe this came out last year, the average... I thought it was more than this, but apparently the average, if you take stats across the world, the average time the average person spends on Facebook is... Per day, yeah.
Like 40 minutes?
Close. More.
2 hours.
Less.
An hour and a half.
Less.
An hour 15.
An hour, okay. They said an hour, which I actually thought it would be more, because all these studies about, it's probably only an hour because they spend so much time watching TV and other
average
stuff.
Average users.
Right. Meaning, if you just take technology in general, it's probably 5 to 6 hours or something.
Yeah.
But Facebook itself, they said the average is an hour. Okay. So there's a lot of reasons, but the one I want to focus on today, which is what you were alluding to, is that by being involved in these things, we are reinforcing to ourselves that our own self-image, right, our own concept of ourselves, how we feel about ourselves and how we judge ourselves, is solely based on what other people think of us, right? Because if we post something and people like it and they comment on it, then, oh, that must have been a good thing that I did. If they don't, then, you know, nobody's talking about it or I'm getting negative comments, that means I'm not, I didn't do something right, or I'm not a good person, or I'm not popular, okay?
And school shootings.
Right, right. If they don't get that,
well,
that external validation.
That's where you get the news from.
Okay, okay, yeah. No, look, I don't want to seem like I'm saying, like, Facebook is us and, like, there's nothing good from it, but obviously it has to be used in the right way, and it has to be used in moderation, right? Only for what you need it for. Okay, so take a look at this. So look at Source 2. Source 2 is the first Mishnah in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, okay? So what does the Mishnah say? Ben Zoma Omer... Ezehu chacham, right? Who is a wise person, right? What's the answer? Good. Halomei mikol adam, right? One who learns from other people. Okay. Next one. Ezehu gibor. How do we define a person of strength, right? What's the answer? What does Ben Zoma say?
Oh.
You can look. It's there.
No, I'm trying to remember.
Trying to remember. Okay. What is it? Hakovesh etzitzra. One who conquers his own yetzer hara, right? One who conquers his desires, right? If you can stop yourself from acting on your desires, good. And then the next one, ezehu ashir. How do we define a rich person, right? How do we define
one
a rich person? Good. Hasameach b'chelka. One who is happy with what he has, right? Good. So I think we've all heard this, right? These are very important Musar concepts. But take a look at source 3. The Gemara in Kiddushin. So the Gemara in Kiddushin describes a very interesting scenario, right? So imagine you have this wedding, right? A nice wedding, you've had a nice Jewish boy, a nice Jewish girl, and they've prepared for months, you know, all the preparations, the flowers, the band, the invitations, whatever. They're at the wedding, right? Everything's taken care of, everything's beautiful, everything's going as planned. They're under the chuppah, right? And it's time for him to actually do the Kiddushin, to actually give her the ring. So he takes the ring and he says, "Hari ad mikudesh esli b'tabazu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael." Right, you are married to me with this ring, and everybody's about to say, "You know, great, beautiful." Edom are there looking, and then he adds a few words. He says, "Al menas she'ani chacham," on condition that I am a chacham, that I am a wise person. Right. So everybody goes, "Oh my gosh, what did he just do?" Right? The Masada Kedushin turns white. He's like, "What's going on here? Why did he add that?" Just be quiet. Right? So the Gemara says, so he made a condition, right? He says, "I'm married to you on condition that I'm a chacham." So how do we determine if this guy is a chacham, right? If he's a chacham, then it's a good Kedushin. If he's not a chacham, it's not a good Kedushin. So how do we determine? So based on our Mishnah Pirkei Avos, what would you say? How do we determine if the guy is a chacham? We see if, right, what do we try to figure out? If he,
let me call him.
Right, right, we try, the Mishnah Avos said, right, how do we define a chacham? A person who learns from everybody. So if we want to see if this chassan is a chacham and he's married to this girl, we try to see if he learns from everybody, right? Wrong. The Gemara says, how do we determine if this guy is a chacham? So says the Gemara, source 3, Amana shani chacham. He doesn't have to be the biggest, you know, the wisest person in the world, like the Chachma Yavna, Rabbi Akiva, the Chaverav. Ella, how do we determine if he's a Chacham? Kosha Shoalim Oso, Davar Chachma B'chol Makom. If you ask him something in any place all over Torah, the Omra, and he's able to give you an answer. Right? So, how do we define if this Chassan is a Chacham? Not by seeing if he learns from everybody, like the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, rather, if he's actually a chacham, right? If he actually knows, if he has a bekius across all of Torah, right? And the same thing by gibor, right? Let's say if the chassan says, "I'm married to you, al menash ani gibor, on condition that I'm a gibor." So we don't say, "Oh, let's go into his brain or go into, you know, talk to his rebbe and see if he really worked on his own taiva and he's kovesh as yitzro." No, what do we say? We say kol shachaverav misyarem imenu pnei gibroso. He actually has to be a physically strong person who other people are afraid of, right? A big, you know, 6'5" strapping guy who other people are actually afraid of because of his physical strength, right? And the Gemara says the same thing by Asher, right? Amanashani Asher. How do we define if the guy's an Asher? Do we say, "Oh, let's look if he's Sameach L'chalko. Let's see if he really, you know, he's so happy with his lot and he doesn't try to go after money"? No. The Gemara says what? The other people in his city have to actually give him respect because he's such a gevir. He has so much money, right? So clearly there's a big difference between how we define a chacham, a gibor, and an asher in Kiddushin, and how Ben Zoma did it in the Mishnah, right? So what's the difference? Right? You get the difference?
One's a shallow approach,
a deeper approach, right? That's what it seems like, right? The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos seems to be, you know, what defines a person, and we give these deep musari concepts, and the Gemara in Kiddushin just says, no, you actually go by the practical, right? If the guy's smart, if he's physically strong, and if he's actually wealthy, right? So a few of the Mefarshim on that Mishnah asked this question. So if you look at source 4, the Baruch Sha'amar of Baruch Halevi Epstein, who wrote the Torah Tamima on Chumash, the son of the Aruch HaShulchan, so he asked this question, and he says beautifully, he says, no, there's a clear difference. When it comes to Kiddushin, so we need to determine if this guy's actually a Chacham, a Gibor, and an Asher, because we need to know if he's married to the girl. Right, and the girl herself is agreeing to that Kiddushin, so she needs to have some objective, external way to determine if this guy, if her chassan, is actually a chacham, a gibor, or an asher, right?
Yeah.
She can't go into his mind and determine, does he really control himself when he has a taiva? Is he kovish et sitro? Or is he really happy with what he has? Maybe he'll say so, but I don't know if internally really he feels that way. So she has no way, or we have no way, of determining those internal characteristics. So we need an objective external sign or determination of how he's a chacham, a gibor, or a ashir. So we say, look at the externals, look at the practical. Is he rich? Is he smart? Is he physically strong? But, and here's the key piece, when it comes to how we determine the real essence of a person, not for a halachic, you know, determination of kiddushin, but how do we determine the real nature, the real essence of a person, as Rabbi Steinman was saying, right? The deeper essence of a person? That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. That's if a person can learn from others, if he can control his Yetzer Hara, and if he can be happy with what he has, right? And he says beautifully, he says, that's why Ben Zoma in the Mishnah in Avos, if you look at the first, if you look at source 2 again, after each one, what does he do? He brings a source, right? He brings a pasuk to prove that a chacham is somebody who's lomi mikol adam, a gibor is somebody who's kovesh esitzer, right? Why does he have to bring pesukim? Because that's his whole point. He's telling you, the pesukim show you that these are the real ways, the true ways to tell if a person's a chacham, a gibor, and an asher, right? Because the pesukim say so. The Gemara in Kiddushin is talking about, yeah, for halachic, for the girl to know if this guy's a chacham, a gibor, and an asher, we have to give these external manifestations. But the real test, the true test of a person's midos, is internally how he conducts himself with learning from others, with controlling his yetzer, and with being happy with what he has. And the Maharal, in source 5, he takes it even further. He says, he asks the same question. He doesn't ask from the Gemara in Kiddushin, but he says the same thing. He says, why doesn't Ben Zoma just say, a chacham is somebody who's smarter than everybody else, a gibor is somebody who's stronger than everybody else, and an asher is somebody who's richer than everybody else, right? That would be the most simple answer, right? So the Maharal says a similar thing. He says, why? Because those are not internal midos. They're all relative, right? If I determine how smart, how strong, how rich I am by other people, then it's not really my own mida. It's just in comparison to other people, right? So here's a great example. If I walk into my son's nursery classroom, right, and I compare myself to all his friends, then I will be the smartest, and I will be the the strongest, and presumably, I don't know in LA, but presumably I'll be the richest, right?
Right?
Because it's all relative, right? Or even better, if I'm stuck on a deserted island, right? As I think you mentioned before, right? So if I'm stuck on a deserted island, nobody else is around, it's only me.
You win.
So what happens? So I'm the richest, I'm the smartest, and I'm the strongest. But I'm also the weakest, the poorest, and the stupidest, right? Because I have no way of, if I'm just determining what my value and my worth is by comparing myself to other people, in the absence of other people, then I have nothing to stand on, right? So that's exactly what the Maharal says. He says, Ben Zoma is giving internal ways of determining your value and your growth. Because again, if I look around, right, I'm trying to figure out how I could be a Gibor, right? So I look around me and I say, so I can't say, oh, that guy, you know, he controls his Yetzer Hara at level 70. And I control it at level 80. So I'm better than him, right? I can't do that. Because first of all, I don't know if he controls his Yetzer Hara. And even if he does, he has his own situations, his own challenges, right? Nobody has the same challenges and situations. So how do I grow in my own midos? I look at myself. I say, you know, right now I'm being kovish as my Yetzer, you know, 70% of the time. So let me work on that and let me pump that up to 75% and then 80, v'chule, right? So the only way for me to grow in my midos is by comparing myself to myself and then building on that. If I compare myself to others, there's always going to be people worse than me or people better than me. So therefore, I have no way to grow because I could just use that in whatever way I want to. Okay, and we'll see that a little bit later. So this is called, in psychology, it's called social comparison theory, developed by a guy named Leon Festinger in the 1950s. And it's not a chiddush, it's basically what we said, that we have a natural tendency to, so what does he say? We determine our own social and personal worth based on how we stack up against others we perceive as somehow faring better or worse, right? So again, we have this natural tendency to compare ourselves to others to figure out where we stand.
Especially
in LA, right? My external appearances, you know, are very focused on. But even more so, I didn't bring the article here, but there's an amazing article where they show that even subliminally, we do this social comparison. They basically showed people a screen and they flashed pictures across it for like a tenth of a second, basically not enough time to actually see the picture, but just to sort of perceive it very quickly in your mind, like subliminally. And one group, they flashed pictures of babies, and another group, they flashed pictures of very old people. And then, right after they did that, they asked them, they gave them a 7-point like spectrum of oldest to youngest, and they basically said, put yourself, rank yourself where you feel you fall in that spectrum, from oldest to youngest. And the people who had subliminally viewed the baby placed themselves on the older side of the spectrum, and the people who had subliminally viewed the old person put themselves on the younger part of the spectrum. So they concluded that there must have been some subliminal social comparison when their brains saw that flashing image. And if you saw a baby, so you felt you compared yourself to the baby and you felt older, right? We're talking about the people who did the study were middle-aged or whatever, or, you know, in their 20s, 30s. And the people who saw the old person, so they did that automatic social comparison and therefore they felt younger. So even it could be, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wired us that we do this naturally.
Well, it also shows that we're very, fleeting. I mean, you have a whole life existence of seeing old, young people, but like that moment, it triggers you.
It triggers you to sort of evaluate where you stand in the big scheme of things, right? Right, even the one fleeting image.
Right,
which is pretty crazy.
Because your whole life compared to that one little message.
Right.
Doesn't amount.
Right,
like,
and then
we always like to try to think we're very, you know, experienced building people, but sometimes we're extremely fleeting,
right.
Goldfish.
Right, correct. Yeah, so the other piece in this social comparison theory is upward comparison versus downward comparison, okay? So what do you think those refer to? Upward comparison versus downward comparison, what do you think those refer to?
If you compare yourself that you're better than the people you compare yourself to, you think that you're worse than them.
Right. So with any given thing that you're comparing yourself on, you could compare yourself to people who are better than you on that within that field, that item, or you can compare yourself to people who are worse than you, right? What do you think happens if you compare yourself to people who are better than you? How does it make you feel? You want to be like them? Okay, that's one possibility. Okay.
Yeah, and it makes you feel bad.
Makes you feel bad, because then you look at yourself and you say, I'm not as good as them, right?
Yeah. or than other people who are blinded by the fact that they are better than other people. They're gonna mask that whether they are or whether they think they are. They're not gonna recognize where they stand. Or stay clear.
Right. So maybe. So again. So if you compare yourself to people who are better than you, so maybe it will motivate you to be like them, or it could make you feel worse because then you think of yourself and you say, "Oh, I'm not as good as them," right? And if you do a downward comparison, right, you compare yourself downward to people who are worse than you, then what do you think happens? So you would say you feel better about yourself, right? Why? Because you're comparing yourself to people who are worse than you, and then you say, "Well, I'm better than that," right? They're worse on this thing, and I'm better, right? So that's what researchers thought. That's sort of the simple way of thinking about it. But what further research has found is that people who are narcissistic, you know what narcissism is? People who think very highly of themselves, they really deep down, they have a very weak view of themselves, but they sort of, externally, they make themselves appear, you know, our president presumably has narcissism.
I have some friends that are narcissistic.
For sure, right. So internally, they have a very weak...
I think he's real legitimate guy, but not narcissistic. He has a real self-esteem.
Okay. I mean, okay. You could debate, but, you know, a lot of things that he does, a lot of things that he, you know, show that internally he needs that external validation from others.
Sure.
I mean, if he really had a strong...
no one walks the shoes.
Okay.
No one understands what it means to be a self-made, like, billionaire. Work up to your president.
Right. No, but the fact that he cares so much about what other people... think of him, that's usually a telltale sign that you're high in narcissism.
Because if you're just a real bug,
which is narcissism.
But you're saying narcissism means you have a low self-esteem. Like you're just trying to bolster yourself.
Well, it depends how you define self-esteem. Meaning if you really had internal high self-esteem, you wouldn't need others to validate you. Because you would feel yourself that you have.
Or you just inflated. Maybe you have high self-esteem to the point where you're a guy, but you're inflated.
Right. Okay, so yeah. So that could be a topic of a different sheer narcissism. No, it's a big topic.
Yeah.
So what they found is that people with high in narcissism, they usually only will do downward social comparison so that they feel good about themselves. Right? They always compare themselves to people who are worse, and they stay very far away from comparing themselves to people who are better because they don't want to feel that, oh, I'm worse than this person, or I have you know, room to grow. So look at this. This is an amazing thing. So if again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wired us to compare ourselves to other people, right? Obviously, because he put that into our DNA, it has a function, and he wants us to use it. But as we've seen from here, it seems like there are a lot of negative outcomes that could come from that, right? So the question is, how do we use social comparison in the right way? I mean, clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do it in a certain way, so how do we do it in the right way to enable us to grow, okay? So this is an amazing thing. So if, you know, one way that we can fall into a very easy trap with social comparison is if we talk about our, you know, our ruchnius, right, and where we stand in terms of shmiras ha-mitzvos and just being good Jews and following HaKadosh Baruch Hu and following the Torah, right? So what could we do? We could look at the world around us, right, and all the headlines on the news and everything that, you know, society is doing, and we could say, oh my gosh, look, society is such a terrible place, right? Look at the moral depravity, look at everything that's going on, and look at me, I'm so much better than them, right? I don't do all these horrible things, and I, you know, I'm nice to people, and I keep the mitzvahs, and I do this, and I do that, and I'm so much better than 90% of society, so I'm great. I don't have to be better, right? Look at everybody else, right? So we could easily, and I think, you know, subconsciously we do that, especially when we see everybody around us and everything happening. We sort of, you know, subconsciously we say, yeah, I'm great. You know, I'm not doing all these things. I'm a pretty good moral person. I'm keeping mitzvahs, and I'm trying to do everything I can. Okay. So listen to this word of the Dubno Magid. Look at source 7. So this is a medrash on Parshas Kedoshim. Right, so the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, we have the pasuk, Kedoshim to you, ki kadosh ani Hashem. Right, you should be kadosh because I Hashem am holy. So says the medrash, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu li Yisrael, Hoel v'nikdashtem lishmi. Ad Shelo Barasi Ha'olam, since I gave you Kedusha before I created the world, Heyu Kedoshim Kishem Shani Kadosh, so you have to be holy just like I am holy. Shenemar Ki Kadosh Ani. L'kach Ne'emar Kedoshim Tiyu. So what does this mean? Because I gave you your Kedusha before the world was created. So the Dubna Magid has an amazing mashal. He says, there was a very wealthy man who lived in a very small town. Okay? And he had one daughter, and he wanted, because he had all this wealth, he wanted his daughter to marry a big Talmid Chacham, and he would support his son-in-law learning for the rest of his life. So he traveled from the small town to the big city where the yeshiva was, and he went to the Rosh Yeshiva, and he said, you know, I have a daughter who's ready to get married, I want, give me your best bacher, right? The biggest maspid, the one who knows the most, the one who's going to learn, who's going to steig all day, and I'm willing to support him. I have the money, and I want him to learn all day. So the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, goes through, he thinks through all the bacharim, and he says, yeah, this is the one, he's the biggest maspid, he's the biggest Talmid Chacham, he's an amazing boy, take him for your daughter. Okay, so Kachava, the father took this bacher to marry his daughter, and he brings him back to the little town where they live. And he says, you know, learn, and I'll support you, and you don't have to worry about making money. Very nice, happily ever after. A few months after their marriage, the father checks up on this son-in-law, and he sees that he's not so stark, right? He's not coming on time to his learning starim. He's taking long breaks. He's not learning with other people. He's just taking it easy. So the father-in-law approaches him and he says, you know, Yanko, I don't understand. I asked the Rosh Yeshiva for the best bacher, the biggest master, the biggest Talmid Chacham, and now I see that you're slacking off, right? You're not taking this seriously. So the son-in-law turns to his father-in-law and he says, come on, give me a break. In this town, even if I learn for 2 hours a day, I'm still going to know 100 times more than everybody else. I'm still going to be learning much more than anybody else. So what do you want from me? You know, I'm still the biggest maspid, the biggest Talmid Chacham and everything in this town, right? So the father-in-law says, no, you don't understand. I didn't take you for my daughter because you're the biggest maspid, you're the biggest Talmid Chacham in my town. I took you because you were the biggest masmid, the biggest Talmid Chacham, and the best boy in the yeshiva, which is full of Talmid Chachamim and Masmidim and everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. So says the Dubna Magid, that's what the Medrash means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, listen to this, don't look at the world and say, oh, look at the world, it's such a terrible place. And we, Am Yisrael, look at us, we're so great, right? We do so much better than the rest of the world, so we don't have to be so Kadosh, right? We're already so much more Kadosh than everybody else. So give us a break, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Look at the world, we're so much better. Why are you pushing us to even be better, to improve ourselves more? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, your Kedusha comes before the world. Don't use the world to determine your level of Kedusha, but rather, your level of Kedusha comes from me, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, you can't look at the world and say, oh, the world is so terrible and we're so great. Your Kedusha should not be using the social comparison of the world. And therefore, you have to push yourself to be more Kadosh, even if you're already 100 times more Kadosh than the rest of the world. Beautiful. Sorry?
You have to look up to
Shamayim. Up to Shamayim, right? Exactly. Right? Don't look down at the world and say, oh, we're so much better. Look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and try to bring yourself up. Exactly. Beautiful. And that's the last source. So I heard this beautiful drasha, or drash, on this pasuk that we say every day in Aleinu. Right? So what do we say in Aleinu? V'yadata yam ha-shivosa el-vavecha, ki Hashem hu ha-elokim, ba-shamayim imal, v'yal ha-aretz mitachas. Right? So, as we mentioned before, what do we naturally do when we do social comparison? So when it comes to matters of ruchnias, right, of learning, of mitzvot, of Torah, what do? We look at the people who are worse than us, and we say, ah, oh, you know, look at all the, you know, look at all the non-frum people, look at all the secular Jews who are not keeping Shabbos, who are not doing mitzvot, who are not learning, and look at me. I'm great, right? Right, no, I mean, you look at people who are worse than you in terms of shmiras ha-mitzvot and learning and everything, and you say, I'm great, right? Look at me, I'm doing much more than them. But when it comes to gashmios, when it comes to materialistic things, what do? We look at people who have more than us, right? Oh, look at that guy. He has such a nice house, such a nice car, right? He has such nice suits, right? Right? And then what do? That pushes us to try to make more money, to try to reach that level, right? Says the pasuk, based on this drash, we should do completely the opposite. Bashamayim, when it comes to ruchnius, the things, mimal. Then, as you were saying, then we should look at people who are better than us. Right? Look at the guy who's learning more. Look at the guy who's doing more
upward
mitzvot.
Comparison.
Exactly, upward comparison, and that will push us to do more. Because look at this guy. He's, you know, he's the same age as me. We're doing the same thing in life, and he learns for, you know, he has a night seder. He learns for another hour, and he's doing these mitzvot, and he's, you know, I can learn from him, and I see that I can be better because of him. And the al ha'aret, but when it comes to matters of gashmiyos, of materialistic things, what should we do? Not look at people who are better than us and say, oh, look at that guy, look at his house, look at his car. Val ha'aret mitachas, then look at people who are worse than us, right? You know, unfortunately in LA, we don't have to go far to see people who are worse than us in gashmiyos, right? Just go out to Pico and see all the people who are... Count that on the street,
here,
right?
Oh, yeah.
No, but if you look at them, then you'll think of yourself and you'll say, I have a home, I have food, I have a roof, I have everything I need, so I really don't need anything. I don't need to keep pushing myself to make more money because look at the people who don't have.
As you're driving down Beverly Hills.
Exactly. There's even homeless people, I think, in Beverly Hills now. They're everywhere, right?
Wait, maybe just some clarification.
Yes.
Instead of looking at somebody else's car and saying, oh, I wish I had a car, Let me try and I'm just confused and how.
So when it comes to gashmias, cars, money, houses, whatever, then look at people who have. Who should you look at? What kind of comparison should you do? Upward or downward? Meaning, look at people who have.
Upward.
So maybe you're saying look at people who have less than you.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is a downward comparison, right?
Yeah.
Meaning you're comparing yourself to people who are lower than you.
Okay.
And then, how will that make you feel? Right? If you compare yourself to the homeless person on Pico, and then you think of yourself and your condition of gashmios, what will you feel? You'll feel very good, right?
Yeah.
I have a place to sleep, I have food, I have everything I need, right? But, so when is it good to use upward comparison? When is it good to compare yourself to people who have more than you, or people who are doing more than you? Exactly, Bashamai, when it comes to Ruchnios, because then that will push us to actually improve ourselves, right? So, Mirza Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the koach, the ability to switch our natural impulse, right? Our natural impulse is to compare ourselves to people who are worse than us, downward comparison by Gashmios, and do an upward comparison by Ruchnios. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the koach to switch that, and to always engage in upward comparison by Ruchnios, and downward comparison by Gashmios, and to remember that we can't base our own feelings of self-worth and Kedusha based on the world, because the world is a pretty terrible place in terms of morality, but rather our Kedusha is based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we always have to try to improve in our levels of Kedusha and engage in that upward comparison.
Beautiful.